Krishna Prabhu to Radha Gopinath Temple. Radha Krishna Prabhu is not unknown to us. He was here in April last year and he had made a presentation on the Hungarian project, which today is one of the most successful projects in ISKCON, practically anywhere in the world. So they have a very wonderful system where, in harmony with nature, they are able to have practically sustainable living out of Mother Nature. So we have requested Radha Krishna Prabhu to come over here and share with us what they are doing there in Hungary. And over the last couple of days, has been having extensive meetings with Sanat Kumar Prabhu. And today at 10 o'clock, we are going to be meeting. The Finance Committee is going to be meeting Radha Krishna Prabhu. So we're very, very happy that he has come. He has taken the trouble all the way from Hungary to come over here on a specific invitation from His Holiness Radhanath Swami. So let us welcome His Grace Radha Krishna Prabhu by loudly chanting, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol.
Hare Krishna. I have to tell you, I'm always embarrassed when I come here and I have to speak in front of this elevated audience. Like last year, I gave a presentation about our project during the Sunday program, and well, it was so well received. Devotees were so fired up with that. I was really happy, and actually it is well, a great privilege to me that I can be here and I can have your association. And actually I came here to listen, not to speak, but somehow I will give a presentation today about our project, about the Eco Valley Foundation and a kind of scientific preaching. And before that, we will speak about Srimad Bhagavatam. And well, I would ask all of you and I would pray to you that please give your mercy so that I can speak the right words, because I have no qualifications at all. I cannot speak about any elevated topics what are there in the Srimad Bhagavatam, so I would really need your mercy for that. So please just give your mercy so that we can do a nice talk today. Before that, we will chant some. We will chant Radha Madhava. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om. So today, I don't have voice. So today we will read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 13, text number 15, 16, and 17. The title of the chapter is The Behavior of a Perfect Person. I will read the 15th verse, and then we will read together the 16th and 17th. Tam natvabhyarcha vidivat padayo shirasasprishan vivitsur idam aprakshin mahabhagavato sura. Translation. The advanced devotee Prahlad Maharaj duly worshipped and offered obeisances to the saintly person who had adopted a python's means of livelihood. After thus worshipping the saintly person and touching his own head to the saint's lotus feet, Prahlad Maharaj, in order to understand him, inquired very submissively as follows.
Vashikayam divanam.
instruction by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, seeing the saintly person to be quite fat, Prahlad Maharaj said, "My dear sir, you undergo no endeavor to earn your livelihood, but you have a stout body, exactly like that of a materialistic enjoyer. I know that if one is very rich and has nothing to do, he becomes extremely fat by eating and sleeping and performing no work." Let us say this together. See, thank you, the purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur did not like his disciples to to become very fat in the course of time. He would become very anxious upon seeing his fat disciples becoming bogies or enjoyers of the senses. This attitude is herewith confirmed by Prahlad Maharaj, who was surprised to see a saintly person adopting Ajagara Vritti and becoming very fat. In the material world also, we generally see that when a man who is poor and skinny gradually endeavors to earn money through business or some other means, and he then gets the money he enjoys, and he then gets the money he enjoys the senses to his satisfaction. By enjoying the senses, one becomes fat. Therefore, in spiritual advancement, becoming fat is not at all satisfactory. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. Omagyana timiran. In the seventh canto, we can read a lot of interesting stories and a lot of very basic philosophy about Krishna consciousness. And as we approach the end of the seventh canto, we get into an elaborate discussion about Varnashram Dharma. And that's interesting because just a month ago we have finished this chapter in Hungary at the farm. So we are right here. We just went to the Instructions for Civilized Human Beings chapter. So, actually, from these verses, what we can read right now, we can understand many things. First of all, we can understand the behavior of a devotee. We can understand the behavior of a devotee towards others. We can understand the different varnas and ashramas. We can understand the duties of the different different kinds of people. And this verse particularly, what is this verse speaking about? What is the main thing that Prahlad Maharaj asks here? It's not just about becoming fat, definitely. It's a bit more deep than that. And from this, well, just if you go back and see the story, Prahlad Maharaj decided to go around the universe and to meet saintly persons, saintly people, so that he can learn from them. And when he came across this devotee, or this gentleman, who was just lying on the floor, or I mean on the street, and do nothing, just live the life of a python, and still be quite big, then Prahlad Maharaj questioned him. I have a question to myself. What would I do if I would meet someone on the street, lying in the dirt, be quite big? Would I go there and try to inquire anything? Or would I just, you know, go as far as possible, go on the other side of the street and just not look at him? So what would we do? What would be our reaction? We can see that Prahlad Maharaj approached that person and he inquired. He asked these questions, what we can read right now, and some others, what you will be able to read further on. And we should understand from these questions and approach of Prahlad Maharaj how we should deal with different circumstances and different environment. And just if we think about the Bhagavad Gita, it is written there that no one can be a yogi who eats too much or too little or sleeps too much or too little. And Srila Prabhupada here says that if someone is a materialistic people or man, then he will become fat because of sense gratification. And that the devotee should avoid that, should avoid this thing, and should always be depending on Krishna. And Krishna's reaction to that dependence will be that he will give everything what a devotee needs. As you surrender, I reciprocate. Sorry. So, Krishna has really strict conditions. As much as you surrender, that's the amount how I will reciprocate. And first he needs surrender. Then he will give something. But as we come into the material world, we are trying to enjoy our senses. And during this thing what we are doing, we can come across devotees like you. And we can have a little agyata sukriti by serving you. We can have a little agyata sukriti by buying a book, by listening or hearing the Harinam. We can have a little agyata sukriti by eating prasadam. Well, that's not a little, that's a huge agyata sukriti. And in due course of time, due to these agyata sukriti, we can get to the point when we can start inquiring devotees about spiritual life. And that's a very important point, because when someone would like to inquire, then he should have the mentality for that. He should have humbleness, respect. All these good qualities should be there. Otherwise, it would be just, you know, like a puffed up man asking some questions what has no meanings at all. So we should have that submissiveness. We should have that acceptance. And the seventh canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the last chapter of the seventh canto helps us to understand how we should do this and how we should get rid of materialistic intentions. And I remember clearly in 1996 I was doing Sankirtan in some place in Hungary, and we were collecting for the temple, we were distributing an enormous amount of books and enormous amount of prasadam. The whole Hungarian Yatra, everyone was doing that. And I had the good fortune to be in a Sankirtan party where there was one devotee who emphasized really much the studying. So we got up in the morning at 3 o'clock or 2 o'clock or something like that. Before Mangala Arati, we studied the Srimad Bhagavatam, the seventh canto, what was just out of the press. And At 4:30 we had Mangala Arati. Then I went to the market to bag boga. Then I came back and we cooked some breakfast. And then we just went out at 9 o'clock in the morning. And we were out on the street and at the houses late, something like 9, 10 in the evening. And then we went back home. And then, you know, we took a shower. We discussed the details of the day. And then we discussed the morning topics, what we have studied from Srimad Bhagavatam, the seventh canto. And we discussed what were the realizations during the day on Sankirtan about these particular topics. And we were speaking about four or five verses, what, if you allow me, I would like to read now. And then after that, I will conclude the Bhagavatam class and we will turn to the presentation. So the verses are from the 15th chapter and starting from verse 21. O King Yudhishthir, many persons with varied experience, many legal advisors, many learned scholars, and many persons eligible to become presidents of learned assemblies fall down into hellish life because of not being satisfied with their positions. By making plans with determination, one should give up lusty desires for sense gratification. Similarly, by giving up envy, one should conquer anger. By discussing the disadvantages of accumulating wealth, one should give up greed. And by discussing the truth, one should give up fear. By discussing spiritual knowledge, one can conquer lamentation and illusion. By serving a great devotee, one can become prideless. By keeping silent, one can avoid obstacles on the path of mystic yoga. And simply by stopping sense gratification, one can conquer envy. By good behavior and freedom from envy, one should counteract sufferings due to other living entities. By meditation in trance, one should counteract sufferings due to providence. And by practicing hatha yoga, pranayama, and so forth, one should counteract sufferings due to the body and mind. Similarly, by developing the mode of goodness, especially in regards to eating, one should conquer sleep. One must conquer the modes of passion and ignorance by developing the mode of goodness, and then one must become detached from the mode of goodness by promoting oneself to the platform of Shuddha Sattva. All this can be automatically done if one engages in the service of the spiritual master with faith and devotion. In this way, one can conquer the influence of the modes of nature. These verses are very simple, very straightforward. And if we apply these principles in our everyday life, we can experience immediate change in our lives. So I would like to thank you for listening to me speaking on the Srimad Bhagavatam, and I think we should start the presentation. That will be something like 30 minutes. Granthuraya Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. So first of all, we had the Brahma Jyoti. Well, it was not that dark. And then we had Toshiba. And then we had Krishna Valley. Okay, so today we will speak about a scientific approach and a scientific part of preaching regarding sustainability. And yesterday evening I was giving a presentation to the brahmacharis who have been there yesterday evening. Okay, quite a lot of devotees. So you will see some slides what are exactly the same like yesterday, but you will see some others also. At least I really hope so. This presentation, what I will give you now, this was given to the GBC recently during the GBC meetings. And now we will... It's okay. It does not want to go. Can you just put it up here? I can just press the buttons. I hope the colors will stay. Okay. So, Krishna Valley is a sustainability initiative in ISKCON. We have started it quite some years ago. And in 2007, we established the Eco Valley Foundation and the Sustainability Sciences Research Institute, what meant to propagate the knowledge of the Vedic knowledge of sustainability and Varnashram Dharma into high scientific levels and to leaders, to scientists, to experts and policymakers and students and professors, the high class of people. Just some basic numbers about Krishna Valley. We have started 16 years ago. At the present moment, we have 550 acres of land. 130 devotees are staying on the property. Most of them are missionary grihasthas. 11 divisions, 44 departments, and 53 buildings, what we have at the moment. This is the leadership and governance at Krishna Valley. That's the 11 divisions. Not all the 44 departments are on this slide because there were not enough space. And yesterday I told the devotees, the brahmacharis, that in Mayapur, some of the devotees questioned what was the problem with the birds. Because the first box, you can see there is... There's the NVD, there's the Neurochadam controlling division, and we have two departments there. The controlling department and the turkey department. And they asked, why would you like to control turkeys? And I said, well, that's not controlling turkey, that's the controlling department and the Turkish preaching, because we are responsible for preaching in Istanbul and Ankara. Also, so you can see that we have these 11 divisions, the MVD controller or controlling division, the settlement development division, social division, education, temple division, tourism, Sankirtan, corporate division, agriculture, provisions and supply, and the eco valley. In Krishna Valley, our development is always according to sustainability principles. And according to those principles, we are developing the society, the economy, and the environment. And recently in Mayapur, Srila Shivaram Maharaj and myself, we were giving a four-day seminar on sustainability, and we went into the details of the social, economic, and environmental sustainability. We will not speak about that now. If you are interested, I'm here until 9 o'clock in the evening, after lunch. So when we speak about sustainability, the first question arises among devotees also, do we have to deal with it? Is there anything what we have to do with this thing, with sustainability, environmental issues, economic issues, and social issues? Well, if we go out the door of the temple, we will face several crises. First of all, everyone knows what we are speaking about when we get to economic crisis. Just to give you one example from Hungary. Hungary's currency has lost 20% of its value against euro in 30 days. Hungarian currency, well, you could buy 1 euro for 246 Hungarian forints last August. Now it's 309. The dollar was 146, now it's 240. So economy has changed, and we are facing quite a lot of problems because of that. The other crisis what we are facing is environmental crisis. And yesterday there were many examples what the devotees were giving, from deforestation to pollution and climate change, a lot of things what causes environmental problems. And the third thing is social crisis. Economic crisis will lead to destabilization of the society. And you can see that there are many problems regarding that in society right now. And if we think about the environmental problems, well, just I give you three examples. If you don't have food, if you don't have water, you will not be able to chant. You will not be able to read. You will not be able to go out and do Sankirtan. Srila Sivaram Maharaj, in his introduction to the sustainability seminar, what we were giving, put forward that, well, you know, we can say, just chant and be happy, but you will not be able to do it if you don't have food to eat and you don't have water to drink. And the third, if you don't have a house to live in, well, you can be a Goswami and sleep under a different tree every night, but we should keep in mind the different nature what the devotees and what the people has or have. So we should always keep in mind that not everyone can do it, just like not everyone can be a businessman, not everyone can be a pujari, not everyone can be a gardener, not everyone can sleep under a tree, you know, during the night. So the problem is that we are causing this crisis, the environmental crisis and the economic crisis. On the left picture, the blue line shows the annual GDP average in the world. The red one shows the oil production. Well, do they fit together? Well, quite a lot. On the right side, you can see, well, that's a place where kids were playing before. Now, they just throw the garbage over there, mostly plastic things. So we can see that the economic and environmental crisis leads directly to social problems. And yesterday I was giving the example of what kind of social problem are we facing. What you will see now, that's a prediction from leader scientists. And when I saw this chart, I was shocked. So this, what you see here, the red line shows the oil production. The blue line shows the growth of the population in the world. You can see that the population went from 1.5 billion to 6.5. It's there right now. This is a prediction for oil production. The scientists are questioning, will the population follow as it did in the last 100 years? Some people are saying that definitely it should. Well, that's a huge problem. If we think about that, how many people died in the two world wars what we had, that was around 80 million. Here we are speaking about 4 to 5 billion people. Scientists said that it can happen because of scarcity of food, scarcity of water, no housing facilities, natural disasters, global warming, climate change, disease, and wars. So this is a huge problem what we are facing. And the scientists say, and most of the economic leaders of the world say, that, well, you know, that's not a bad thing if the population decreases, because then we can keep up the lifestyle what we have right now. We don't have to change anything. We will get back to that a bit later. The problem is that I will show you now the map of greed. I call it as a map of greed. This is the ecological footprint or carbon footprint of the world. You can see that U.S. grown quite a lot. Canada is not on the picture. What to speak of Africa, South America, Australia? Where is Russia? Well, China ate the whole thing. Where is Great Britain? It became really great. Really Great Britain. So the problem is that scientists are saying that we have 1.8 hectares of land for each and every person on Earth. The U.S. is using 9.6. If everyone would live like the people in the U.S., we would need 6 planets. Well, that's not a problem. The problem is that we do not have 6 planets at the moment. Pakistan is using 0.7. At the moment, the average is 2.2. That means that we are 25 to 30% above what we have. That's the total Earth, what we have right now. That's a problem. And the problem is that no one would like to change their lifestyles, their habits, their way of living, the consumption, the oil consumption, and furthermore, everyone thinks that the resources are unlimited. I have to tell you, that's not the case. We don't have unlimited resources. We don't have unlimited oil. We don't have unlimited uranium. And at the moment, 65% of all our electricity is based on oil, coal, and gas. And the Hungarian leader scientists came up with a very shocking chart which says that oil production and gas will end in 20 years. That means that's in our life. Another scientist, Professor Vida, in Hungary, on our conference, what we have organized, said that, well, I'm pretty much concerned about what will happen on the Earth, but we can approach that from two angles. One is that, well, Mother Nature will do well on its own, and in 10 million years, everything will be the same without us, human beings. The other approach is that, well, we would like to live on planet Earth, and we would like our children to live there, and our grandsons and generations. So that's why we should deal with this. That's why we should forcefully propagate the knowledge, what we have, on Varnashram Dharma and what we can show to people. And that's why we are targeting the top class people, because our main concern is that the policies are not in the right place, the responsibility is what the leaders should have, they do not have, and they are just hankering for money, position, wealth, and that's all. We should change that. And that's why we started the Eco Valley Foundation. That's why we started the Sustainability Sciences Research Institute. And now, at the present moment, it consists of two ministries from the Indian government. One ministry from the Hungarian government. I don't know if you have heard about TERI, the Energy and Resource Institute. Formerly, it was the Tata Energy Resource Institute. I just met Dr. Pachauri's two directors. Dr. Pachauri was the one who got the Nobel Prize along with Al Gore 2 years ago. And they said that we would like to work with you, because whatever research programs we did, whatever results we have, you show it at your farm in Hungary. We would like to tie up with you closely because you have the showpiece there in Hungary. That's what two directors said to me in Delhi some days ago when I was there. So we have to face the crisis, and we have to have the goal. We have to change people's mentality. And all of you here, you are capable to do it. Most of you are graduated. Some of you are scientists. You should lead the world. You should grab this opportunity and change the world. And what we are doing is that we face the environmental, the economic, and social crisis through our Eco Valley program. And the goal of the Eco Valley program, this is an excerpt from Eco Valley Foundation's constitution: apply, research, develop, and propagate the knowledge accumulated through interdisciplinary sciences for the purpose of establishing the applied sustainability of the whole ecological system, including the environment, the society, and the economy. If we do it, we can have great results. And the way how we represent it to scientists, scholars, leaders, politicians, policymakers, and so on, we do not speak about Krishna consciousness. We speak about eco consciousness. They can relate to that much easily, usually, at least in the West. And We speak about the levels of eco-consciousness. And there are four levels, but we speak about three. And during explaining them, these three levels of eco-consciousness, usually people are getting to the fourth level by themselves. The fourth level is the level of the individual, what is our closest environment, our gross and subtle body. We should live in harmony with the environment. We should live in harmony with our body and mind, intelligence, and false ego or the ego. And for that, we should have a lifestyle and thinking in harmony with the ecosystem. And the broader environment what we are living in, that's a society. And we should always observe the individual's nature and engage them according to those. And in this way, we can develop an ecological ethics-based culture that will make the society sustainable. And the third level is the natural environment what we are living in, what we are exploiting. The natural resources are decreasing. The biodiversity is decreasing. The topsoil is completely lost in many places on the world. Erosion, climate change, and whatever, that's what we did to Mother Earth, who is one of the servants of Lord Krishna. We should be her servant, not she should be our servant. We should not exploit her. We should give back much more than she gave to us. So this means that we have to enhance the productivity of the ecosystem through organic farming, through extensive agriculture, not intensive agriculture. We should develop a mentality towards Mother Nature that we should serve her. And in this way, we can have the environment, we can have a safe environment. And at the end, when I explained this elaborately to one of the professors, he said that, well, you know, Mr. Zoltan, that's my civil name or legal name, what you have said, it's really important and we would like to join. We would like to be a part of your foundation. We would like to help you as much as we can. But in the meantime, it was very diplomatic how you were speaking about these things. Because, you know, at the end, I came to the conclusion that it cannot exist without God. Well, that's a good conclusion, I think. And that's the fourth level of eco-consciousness. We should always live in harmony with God, with Krishna. Because ultimately, everything belongs to Him. The natural environment, the society, the individual, the body, mind, everything belongs to Him. And we are just using all these things to serve Him. So these are the main elements what we are preaching to people about. There are six main activities what we do. First of all, we have scientific work. In cooperation with six universities, two departments of the Hungarian National Academy for Sciences, and with one ministry over there, two ministries over here. We would like to have a broad and developed education. What does that mean? We have internal education there in Krishna Valley, and we would like to have an education where we can train up trainers. We can train up devotees to be able to propagate this knowledge, to be able to convince leaders, convince corporates, convince economic leaders, convince bank leaders about the importance of the environmental, economic, and social sustainability. And in this way, we would like to spread Krishna consciousness approach to sustainability everywhere. So that's the education part. Then we are organizing conferences. We have communication, what usually means that we have different kinds of meetings with people. Just to give you one example, I was in Delhi for 3 days. During the 3 days, I had 13 meetings. We joined secretaries, corporates, and directors, and institutions, and whatever, just to be able to establish a firm foundation for developing the Eco Valley Foundation's activities to a level when it will have effect on each and every country's everyday life. So that's communication. And the representation of interest and lobbying, we are trying to influence policymakers as hard as possible in Hungary and everywhere else also. Just I give you one example regarding car protection. In Hungary, there is a law in the law book that, well, you know, the environmentalists came up with the idea of animal protection and that we should reduce animal cruelty. And do I have 5 or more minutes? And there is a law that no cruelty should be done to animals except slaughtering the cow in the Jewish way. So we said that if you have an exception for ritual cow killing, you should have something in your policies, in your law book for ritual cow protection. And the Hungarian government accepted it. And now it's in the law books that no harm could be done to any of the animals, any of the cows, what are in a ritual cow protection area. Now there is one in the world, that's Krishna Valley. So that's a kind of policy making, what we should have to protect Vedic culture, and what we should have to influence others, to influence politicians, so that they understand the basic principles of sustainability. That's what we do in Hungary, and we would like to do, by your help, everywhere else in the world. And then, of course, cooperation. Just recently, I was speaking with Sanat Kumar Prabhu. I was at your farm, what is developing pretty well, I can tell you. That's pretty good. And we just identified some of the areas for cooperation, including research programs and training and exchange of expertise and whatever. So cooperation in ISKCON and outside ISKCON. What are the fields of activity of the Eco Valley Foundation? Society development, preventive healthcare, environment protection, nature conservation, agriculture, land management, water management, waste management, renewable energies, and ecological engineering. All these are divided into 3 main buckets. That's the environmental, economic, and social sustainability. I give you one example for how we are developing the approach, the scientific approach of Vedic, of representing the Vedic principles. Linking different functional areas, it's always important in environmental engineering, because we should target the optimal resource and energy flow in the system. So, we have a cow. What is grazing on the pasture? And that cow gives cow dung. And that cow dung should be composted. And from that compost, there are organic products what we can produce. There is another thing what the cows are giving. And that's milk. Jaishvara Gopinayaji ki. But what is coming from milk and organic products? What's that? What's that? That's an interesting point. We can have prasad. Or when we speak to scientists, we say that, well, local consumption can be grown. But there are some things what are missing from this chart. First of all, the cow dung should go back to the pasture to nourish it. Then, the waste from the organic product should be composted also. And those can be fed to the animals. And the waste from local consumption also could be composted. So this is a kind of approach, how we emphasize the importance of cow to scientists. And in this way, we could get these results. At the moment, we have 6 university cooperation, 48 research programs what are going on, 75 dissertation topics, 2 international research cooperation between Hungary and India. We have 2 conferences what we have organized, 3 conferences what we have been invited to. Those are scientific conferences. 24 meetings, 2 workshops, 4 pay courses, 2 magazines, 80 articles on website, what has grown to 120 in 1 month, and then 30 publications and 13 databases. So with these efforts, we could involve 900 experts, decision makers, and students to our program in 1 year from zero. The 3 main results, international cooperation. There is an agreement between the Hungarian and Indian agriculture ministries for cooperation. The Eco Valley Foundation is assigned to be the head of the Hungarian part of that cooperation in organic farming. So we are leading the common research programs on organic farming between the 2 countries. Then the National Research and Technology Office, what is there in Hungary and here in India also, and they accepted more than 20 of our research programs in their program. Conferences. We organized a conference for ecological sustainability and the environmental education conference. The first one was specifically for politicians, scientists, experts, and university students. We had more than 200 attendees. And during this conference, we could sign the cooperation with the universities, what I will speak about right now. But before that, the Environmental Education Conference, the former environmental minister came to the farm. He was one of the keynote speakers. And there were 2 other devotees who were speaking, and 1 director under whose guidance there are 3 high schools, 4 elementary schools, and 3 kindergartens. So they were speaking, and there were something like 100 people. All of them were teachers and directors of elementary and high schools. And at the end, they agreed that, well, we should bring our students here, each and every student, so that they can experience environmental friendliness, you know, in life. So they are bringing 750 students every year to the farm. Then cooperation with universities. It is extremely hard to get into universities in Hungary. Now they have signed a cooperation with us, what has 3 major points. First of all, we can tutor the students in their dissertation on those topics, what you could see, renewable energies and wastewater management, social development, economic sustainability, and all these kind of things. we can tutor them. The second one, these six universities have accredited Krishna Valley at the government to be an eligible practical field for BSc studies, seventh semester practical field work for their students. So students are going there for the purpose of having research programs for 5 months on wastewater treatment, wastewater management, renewable energies, and whatever. That was quite a good result, I think. And imagine the third one. You cannot get into universities easily. Now they are organizing our ecologic workshops in each and every university. They are giving the place. They are advertising it. They are bringing their students. And we even don't have to pay for anything. We go there and give the speech. And that's every month in every university. We just started it last month. So that's a really good result, I think, what we could achieve. And we would like to copy this everywhere in the Western and the Eastern world also. So some of the partners who we have at the present moment, well, there are more now because of the Delhi meetings, but you can see most of them are professors, very well-known and honored professors internationally also. The first one, Professor Vida, he's an academician. He's one of the members of the Hungarian National Academy of Sciences. And he is one of the major enemies of Ishwara Krishna Prabhu. Ishwara Krishna Prabhu is doing the anti-evolution preaching, and he's a great evolutionist, Professor Vida. He was the keynote speaker in our temple room, in our conference, regarding environmental sustainability. And at the end, he came up to me that, Mr. Zoltan, I would like to assure you that wherever you go, whenever you need me, give me a call. I will be available for you. Thank you. So that's a result what the Vedic, what the propagation of the Vedic approach to sustainability can give. Changing atheistic people, changing their views, and engage them in Krishna's service. The prospects, what we would like to do, construction of a sustainability research and education center, what will be later developed into a Varnashram college. Developing broad international cooperation, what I'm trying to do right now. Developing the research programs. Starting the eco-membership. This is one of the major issues, what we will speak about in the meetings from 10 o'clock. Because our intention is to combine the forces of the scientific and institutional sector with the corporate sector. Usually they are not so well together. What we would like to do is to combine those forces so that they convince themselves about the importance of economic, environmental, and social sustainability. We will have formal and informal meetings with them. So we are trying to involve as many people as possible. I give you two examples from India. One is Apollo Tires, who would like to have a major investment in Hungary now. And I thought, and they would like to move 200 families from India to Hungary. 200 families. I told them, well, if you would go to Hungary, definitely we are there to provide you the cultural background and facilities for all the needs for the Indian families. They were so favorable for that. And then I put forward this concept of combining the forces of the institution and corporate sector. And they said that that's a really good idea. I don't know why we did not came up with it. We would like to be a part of that. We would like to support your efforts. And the other one was Kohinoor Foods. The same thing with them. So that's the starting of the eco-membership. And they're organizing conferences, and one of the major challenges is raising the funds. As usual. You know, it's like we are trying to write applications for grants, but the problem is that it's extremely hard now, especially in Hungary. And if we would have the right funds, we would be able to set up the trainings all over the world, do the publications, develop the broad international cooperation in ISKCON to provide the farm communities, to provide the preachers with all the materials what they need to change the world. This is what we are seeking right now. So that's a very important thing to raise the funds. And there are just some pictures about the Sustainability Research and Educational Center. We will have two offices, one library, a conference room, different other rooms for education purposes. We would like to have a restaurant and a shop for economic sustainability purposes. And there will be two apartments for professors and scientists and for devotees. So if they would like to go there and have the experience and do research programs or whatever, they can do that. And the last, almost the last slide, I have one more. This is the eco-valleys in the world. What would happen if everyone would live like us? One eco-valley can accommodate 500 people on 2 square miles or on 5 square kilometers. That means everything is there. The botanic garden, the housing area, the goshala, the pasture, the roads, the lakes, the everything. The forests and agriculture fields, everything in that 2 square miles or 5 square kilometers. Well, with 1,000 eco-valleys, this would be the case. How many people are living on the earth now? 5.6 billion. We would need 13 million eco-valleys for that. And we would need 25.2 million square miles or 65.3 million square kilometers for that. The question is, how much do we have right now? Well, I have gone to a web page where they have all the data of each and every country of the world, and I just counted the present agricultural fields and the forests. This is the result. We have 33.5 million square miles. We would need 25.2. And that only includes 6% of Africa. 6%. And with this, we would need only 73% of the present agricultural fields and forests in the world. 73%. This is the result of the proper application of Vedic knowledge in the present world. In this way, we could accommodate the present population of the whole earth on 73% of the present agricultural areas and forests. If we would do it elaborately, we could accommodate 10 billion people on Earth. That's our solution. Our solution is not decreasing the population. Our solution is this. Change your lifestyle. Live like we live. Live a happy life. And at the end, you'll go back to Krishna. So, the last slide. We render our services in New Brajadam under the guidance of His Grace Gaura Shakti Prabhu, who is a genius, who can... What I was speaking about today, everything is coming from discussions with him and discussions with scholars. He is developing Krishna Valley in a way that it is always sustainable, environmentally, economically, and socially. So this is the main, I think, the main driving force, that Gaura Shakti Prabhu is always there and he's always willing to apply the principles what Srila Shivaram Maharaj puts forward according to Srila Prabhupada's books, how we can create a sustainable world. So Gaura Shakti Prabhu and Srila Shivaram Maharaj is the basis of all of this. And each and every devotee in whole Hungary is following what they are saying. And in this way, we would like to have a really close relationship with you. We would like to learn from you a lot, because you have achieved much more than we achieved. You achieved much more. And we would like to learn. We would like to implement your experiences into those environments. We would like to have a broad, massive community over there with thousands and thousands of devotees in the congregation. I would really need your mercy, and we would really need your blessings so that we can do that. And in this way, we can serve Sri Sri Radha Shyama Sundar in Hungary. Thank you very much. Please, if you have time, visit our webpage. That's in English. That's ecovalley.hu. And you can write me email on rkd@pamho.net, or, you know, this email also, what you can see here. And if someone would need my email ID, then I will give some of my cards to Krishnanand Prabhu, and you'll be able to collect it from him. So thank you again. Hare Krishna. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki. Jai Shri Radha Gopinath ji ki. Jai Nitai Gaur Premanande.